Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 84 of Thomas and the Bible. And, of course, right when I start recording, I notice my mic is kind of not facing me properly. And the cat's going to start attacking my toes. You might notice if you're watching on the video, or an incredibly accurate listener somehow, that I'm in a different area of my house. Now, I've got set up on my laptop with my external hard drive, so I don't need to be tethered to the incredibly uncomfortable desk. So yeah, any of you listeners who immediately heard a difference in the acoustics, I'm like, he's in a different place. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know if there is such a person, but anyway, I am late though, so sorry to anyone who was trying to catch it and is not here. I'm 38 minutes later than I said, but it wouldn't start up. I think my external hard drive might have frozen or something, because it just kept, you know, whatever. I'm not the greatest with Macs, so anything to figure out for me takes longer than, you know, a normal human. But anyway, let's just get into the reading. No, let's not get into the reading. Screw that. Let's get into the usual disclaimers and things. Disclaimer one, I am an expert. I'm trained at this. Don't try this at home. Do not attempt to read this Bible at home. I can't believe I haven't made that joke before, but when I said disclaimer, that wasn't the word I was looking for. And thus it brought me to that brilliant joke that I can't believe I haven't made before. Yeah, I'm a professional. Do not attempt to read this horrifyingly boring book on your own. You will get hurt. It is dangerous. It is not for just anyone to attempt. So that's my disclaimer. No, oh my God, the cat. Oh, jeez. Just ripped my foot in half. So yeah, the cat can now just attack my foot under the coffee table that I'm next to. Cat, stop it. Oh, wow. That hurt. Oh, man. He doesn't like me. I don't know what happened. He doesn't like me anymore. Yeah, please check out my other podcast as usual. That's Two for Flinching at facebook.com/24flinching. It's good stuff. This last week was really funny. I loved it. And thanks to everyone who has. Also, thank you for continuing to review this podcast on iTunes. And also review Two for Flinching on iTunes. Come on. Even if you haven't checked it out, who cares? Just review what you think it will be. You know, whatever. You know me. You know more or less what it is. Just go review it. Need some reviews. It's looking a little sad right now. Anything else? Yeah, there's a guy, I'm an idiot because this guy contacted me a while ago and wanted to kind of cross-promote podcasts and stuff. Let me just find the message here. He's from, it's kind of a clever name, Noah Lugens, as in like no illusions, I assume, unless it's actually his real name. That'd be kind of funny. Yeah, he does, he's on the, I'm blanking on the name, the Scathing Atheist podcast, and, I was gonna do a little something for him. I was gonna, I'll send an audio file over for him to do. He said he was gonna plug my show, sent me a nice message, and this was maybe a month ago, and probably 2 weeks ago. And I kept thinking of it every time and then forgetting right away because I'm stupid. So I finally remembered, a.k.a. he sent me a message just like an hour or two ago to remind me. So thanks, Noah Lugens, for the name alone, if nothing else. So, yeah, that's the Scathing Atheist podcast. Check that out. I listened to an episode or two. Like I said, this was April 2nd, and it's now like January 57th or something. I have no idea. I don't even know what the date is. April 16th. Okay, so it's been 2 weeks. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's a good show. And I appreciate the guy reaching out. So with that said, that should be good enough for disclaimers and mic adjustment, if I can be done with that. Okay, let's get into our incredibly boring reading. We are on 2 Kings chapter 3. And as usual, almost nothing is happening. Brace yourselves, almost nothing is about to happen. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Misha, the king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams, just because they rhymed, no other reason, with the wool. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jeroboam went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." Yeah, there's a lot of cross-horse talk between the two countries. There's some horses were like, I can't do good horse sounds, but they're like, yeah. The other horse was like, yeah, let's go fight all the enemy horses over there on the other side of the land. So yeah, so that happened. And as he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. That's an interesting phrase. And there was no water for the hosts and for the cattle that followed them. They fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. That's like a King James version of saying they went on a journey for 7 days. Interesting. I kind of like that turn of phrase. Let's go fetch a compass of 6 days of a journey. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And the king of Israel said, okay, so they're going to fight somebody. I already forget who. Who cares? Doesn't matter. They're always fighting each other. It's really just could be anyone. I don't know. They march out together, these two kings, and they get 7 days out, and they're like, "Oh, we don't have any water. Shit, did anyone bring water? No? Yeah, we forgot water." No, they probably didn't forget water, but they eventually ran out. Okay. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat, oh, they're fighting Moab, the Moabites, maybe? I don't know. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here's Elisha, the son." Do we decide on Elisha? Elisha? I don't. And by say we, I mean me, really. Because you could just type it. Yeah, Elisha. Just type how it's spelled. E-L-I-S-H-A. Just type it. Yeah, it's pronounced Elisha. Elisha. I don't know. I can't tell. I'm going to say, because Elisha sounds like a girl's name. Elisha could maybe, I don't know what that sounds like. So it could be, it is a guy. Let's go with Elisha. I'll try to stick to that and immediately forget. "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." So this is Elijah's, I thought it was his son, but I don't think it's his son. It's his, like, follower, his apprentice, his celebrity apprentice. So, and Elijah was carried off in a tornado, as you all no doubt remember. And Elisha is now twice the prophet that Elijah was. And so he does the profiteering around these parts. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What do I have to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of, okay, so he's a little bitter because, you know, this right now, basically the point of this entire stupid Bible for the last, what seems like an eternity, is that the Israelites are constantly worshiping the wrong gods. And so they go to ask Elisha, and Elisha's like, "Why are you asking me? I don't know. Why don't you ask your other gods? Why don't you ask your god? You know, they just seem so powerful. Why don't you go ask them?" You know, he's doing that whole thing. He's yeah, he's like a girlfriend or boyfriend that's really trying to, like, not accepting an apology or not. I don't know. Why don't you go ask? You know, you seem fine over there with the other gods. Why don't you just go ask them? And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay." The king of Israel said, "I'm sorry I went." You know, no, I guess he said, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together." these three kings of to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Doesn't that usually mean the opposite of what he said? To deliver him into the hand of Moab, that means to just be defeated by Moab, right? Isn't that what that sounds like? That's weird. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee." If you remember Jehoshaphat from last reading, Jehoshaphat kind of is still a good guy. And good guy as far as the Bible is concerned, because he still kind of worships the correct gods, sort of. And so Elisha is saying, well, if it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I would not even be giving you the time of day. So Elisha's like, my girlfriend said I should not be talking to you, but if it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I guess I'll give you, I'll listen to you, but I'm not, you know, everyone says I should just dump you and I should just leave and I should just walk right out that door. All my friends say that, but I guess because for Jehoshaphat's sake, I will stay for a minute. But now bring me a minstrel. Now he's demanding minstrels. I should demand more minstrels in life, I think. I've demanded probably somewhere in the range of -4 minstrels to +1/2 minstrels, like in somewhere in that range is the number of minstrels I've demanded in my life. Bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He said, stop playing, that's terrible. It came upon the other guy, Elisha. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. He's just making him do a bunch of crappy work. Just dig ditches. It doesn't serve any purpose. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they so Elisha performs this miracle of, which honestly could have been a simple thing of just like, hey, dig some holes and maybe there's some groundwater. I don't know. Because Elisha's big miracle here was that, you know, there was no water. And he talked to God and God said, dig a bunch of ditches. And then there was water in them the next day. I don't know. Maybe it rained. I don't know. Maybe if there's some groundwater, like I said. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. At any rate, they have water now. So now they're all energized and they're going to go to war. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. That's not verifiable. We don't know that. We don't know that the Moabites saw the water as red as blood. He could just be saying that. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. Oh, okay. So the purpose of that is that the opposing army sees this as blood. And so they think that the army, like, killed itself. So they're going to go run down recklessly into the to be killed, I guess. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities. And on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Hareseth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. So I don't really get this concept where you're going to ruin land by putting stones on it. First of all, if it's that easy to ruin their land, like just a bunch of guys carrying a couple stones, then surely they could just undo that. They could just carry those stones off. Oops, bump the mic. They could just toss those stones out of the land. But also, wherever they're getting these stones, that land then goes from bad to good, right? If I'm accepting this premise that stones equals bad land, I don't know. I don't know what this means. Maybe there's some newer translation that makes more sense. I guess there is like a scorched earth kind of thing you can do. But just throwing a stone in land, that doesn't seem that bad to me. I don't know. Anyway, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. It's action-packed. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. So that's a weird step. I don't really get that. So the guy's losing the battle, and he's like, well, what should I do? Well, I have this son of mine, my firstborn son. I could just burn him. Would that help? Guys, is that going to help win the war if I just burn my son? Yeah, yeah, do that. It couldn't hurt, could it? Yeah, okay, I'll do it. Like, these are the kind of people that started, that were around at this time, by the way, of this religion that everyone loves. That's so good, you know. This is chapter 4, so we're done with that. We're going to read through chapter 6. We're going 3, 4, 5, 6. So this is chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Damn it. Elisha, we decided. Water temple. Saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? I'm drunk. I'm not drunk. I've had nothing to drink. I'm kidding. What hast thou in the house? Very complex language I just struggled over. The house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. It's my lucky oil pot that I've been saving. So this woman, I don't know if I need to recap this, but this woman goes to Elisha and's like, my husband died. I got nothing. Help me. And he says, well, what do you have left? Because she has a bunch of creditors. She's in debt. What do you have left? Well, I have a pot of oil. Her lucky pot of oil that she's... I don't have a pot to piss oil in, I think is what she said. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Just borrow a lot, is what that means. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So this is a very common Old Testament miracle where I've only got this... Oh, man. I thought I was holding my hand. Here's the camera. I've only got this one lucky jar of oil that I keep around for no reason. What am I going to do? And then the guy says, pour it into a number of other containers, and then miraculously, it doesn't empty. Like, she just keeps pouring it. Like, she just keeps pouring it like that, and it just keeps filling. It's like the... Sometimes you see in, like, gift shops or whatever, the funnel, and then, like, the beer. It's like an eternal beer tap, but it's just because it's actually squirting the beer up into the tap. You know, I'm sorry to break this illusion for you, but that's how they do it. Something's just squirting the beer up into the tap, but it makes it look like it's this tap with nothing behind it that's just pouring beer eternally. So it's like that. It's like that, except they actually get all the oil, I guess. So now she's like, great. So now I'm in debt and I have all this freaking oil that I can't do anything with. I have tons of oil just all over the house. It's a mess. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. She's like, this oil's worth like $2. I can't even, I sent three of my kids to Ivy League schools. This is not going to do anything. I'm not sure what you thought. I'm going to put my feet up. This is a benefit of this new location. so that's some musical equipment over there. Where's that cat? Oh, the cat is as far away from being in the camera shot as he can. He's right, just the opposite of in the camera. There's no way I can get in the camera. He's learned. He's learned his lesson. It's like, he's not built for the celebrity life. Let's face it. Okay, so, and live thou and thy children of the rest, right? And so they're just going to live on this oil. They're just going to eat oil for the rest of their days. So it's a miracle, and thus it's 100% proof of God, of course. Because you can, and no non-godlike being would be able to describe a lame miracle in a book from thousands of years ago. You know, only a real God could do that. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. I don't know what that means. I think she gave him bread a lot or something. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth us by continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and he can play Clue and say, like, it was the bed in the stool with the candlestick. That's Clue, right? The candlestick, whatever. With the lead pipe, the candlestick, yeah, anyway. When he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. So this nice lady is constantly feeding him bread and then wants to build him a little room or something. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had her, she stood before him. And she said unto him, No, and he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Itch on my nose. I didn't used to have to explain this to listeners, but now that I have a viewing audience, see me keep itching my nose. I think I have a cocaine habit or whatever. I mean, I do, but that's unrelated to the constant itch I'm feeling on my nose. So this woman's being really nice to the prophet, and the prophet wants to know, what's in it for you? What do you want? What do you need? And she's like, nah, I'm good. And then like, come on. I know you want something. Why all this kind treatment? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband, I'm going cockney. Her husband is old. Right. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood on the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived, and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And they had the time of their life. So he gives her a son. He says, you know what? Is this a way, a kinder, holier way of saying, like, he just had sex with her? Like, he's like, so what do you want? And she says, nothing. I'm good. Are you sure? Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm just a person. I don't have a husband or a child or anything. He's like, oh, you don't have a child. And then I suspect we cut and then cut back to him. You know, he's putting his pants back on. You will have a son next year or whatever. So that's how that worked. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he, see, you know, this is interesting. I guess this is one of the ways they kind of can tell who wrote what and, you know, what people, how different people wrote different parts of the Bible. Because now they keep saying it fell on a day, as in one day. Like, and then one day. Like, that's what that means, essentially. And this, I don't remember hearing this phrase, at least in the last chapter, or sorry, last book, like 1 Kings, or, but I don't remember it till just now, actually. It fell on a day, they keep saying over and over again. So maybe that's one of the patterns they can see that, you know, this, they have this writing style. It fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head. Stupid kid. That doesn't tell us much. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon and then died. I feel bad for making fun of him. Nah, not really. Everyone in this book is dead now, right? And I make fun of all of them. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. I'm starting to get a little yawny because of this reading. So, hold on. I'm changing. I have coffee, iced coffee for this specific occasion, for this specific eventuality. Sorry, just had to readjust and change. You know, I actually don't think I like this setup of sitting on my couch. Sure, it's comfy, but I can't really move. And I think sorry if it's really annoying, and I think I'll change back next time. It's a little self-serving being on this couch. I think I'll go back to my desk next time, to my cubicle. So apologies, but you know, I'll fix that next time. But I gotta have some coffee because something about this book, I immediately want to go to sleep as soon. I say something about it as though I don't know what it is. The thing about this book that makes me want to go to sleep immediately upon reading it is that it's a terrible, boring, not remotely educational, like just not no quality. It just is nothing. There's nothing to it. I might as well just be staring at a blank page. Anyway, what does Wah mean? Mephisto. I don't know what Wah means. Okay, so this woman who I've decided that Elisha had sex with, her son now has died, so she says. So she's going back to Elisha and be like, what's going on, man? The son you gave me through that miracle stick, you called it, that was in your pants, through your, you know, that wand thing you had in your pants that was, like you said, was an instrument of God. Yeah, my son's died. She saddled an ass and said to a servant, drive and go forward and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Trying to stay awake. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. You know the one. Yeah, no, it's that Shunammite. Oh, man. What are you guys talking about? Did I say something wrong? I don't get it. Are you way behind me, or I don't know. Anyway, explain yourselves. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? She answered, it is well, which doesn't seem truthful. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Oh, damn it. No. Okay. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand. Oh, so he's just like, oh, you want another son? I got one coming right up right now. We can make one immediately. I will immediately go to work on you to make another son. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. So he's saying, take this staff, set it on your child's face, and he'll come back to life or something. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff. He's telling Gehazi to do it, who's like his servant. So tired. I wish there was more caffeine in this caffeine. I don't know. But it doesn't work. He goes and lays the staff on the kid, and the kid's like, screw you, I'm dead. I don't care. As in, he didn't say anything, because he was dead. And when Elisha came back to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and other parts of his body on other parts of his body. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. So that's what you have to do to wake up a child, you know. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. You know the one. Hey, call that Shunammite. You remember that? Oh, man. You remember that friggin' wild Shunammite? Call her. Yeah, call her in. I just wish I could get this mic out of the... view, but I can't really otherwise. I don't know if you can hear me. And then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. And there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the servants. I don't know what that means.
Oh, crap.
I was trying to avoid this, but... Oh, okay, more caffeine. Yeah, he's telling his... There's like a famine or something. And so he tells his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage. Is he saying just cook food for him? Is that what he's saying? I don't know. Seethe pottage. I don't know, whatever it is. It sounds delicious. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds for his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage. Oh, okay, it is. For they knew him not. Knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass they were eating, as they were eating of the pottage. Yeah, okay, so it comes, it's like a stew. It comes in a pot, so it's pottage, you know? That they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. So this guy accidentally poisoned everyone, and they're all dead. No, they're not all dead, but they're like, oh, we can't eat this. But Elisha to the rescue. Elisha said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. So that's the end of that little miracle. So he's just all kinds of just incredibly incontrovertible miracles. Like someone said, like, hey, this stew sucks. And then he threw something in there. And he's like, no, it's good now. That could have been it. I mean, the Bible's presenting it as though it's like this death stew, and somehow he just made it not poisonous.
Damn it. I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. I don't try to do these yawns. I'd like you to know that. I really don't. In fact, I'm doing everything I can. I'm drinking just pure caffeine just to try to avoid them, but it's not working. Okay. All right. Wake up. Wake up! Okay. And this is what I have to do to get through this book. We're only on... I think this chapter was really long, so I'm hoping we're more done with this book than I think with this reading. Okay, next stupid miracle that's probably crap. And there came a man from Baal Shalisa and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what, should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Oh, so another incredible miracle. They thought they wouldn't have enough food, but then they had enough food. He told them to just eat, and then they totally had enough. Wow, I can't get enough of that same friggin' miracle over and over again. That's not... like... it wasn't impressive enough the first time, but now that they wrote two different versions of it, now I believe it. Now Naaman, the captain of the hosts of the king... oh, this is chapter 5, by the way. Finish that chapter. The captain of the hosts of the king of Syria was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. excuse me. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, or Naaman or something. And she said unto her mistress, would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of this land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought, excuse me, I'm having real difficulties. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee. that thou mayest recover him of this leprosy. Easy. It's just what you do. When you're sending a letter to someone, you said, oh, I also sent my diseased servant. Just cure him up real quick. But I guess that's the kind of mail you get when you're a prophet of the Lord, so-called. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he I guess he sent it to the king of Israel. So that is kind of weird. This guy, the king of Syria, sent a letter to the king of Israel saying, hey, I sent you this and a guy with leprosy. So if you want to just cure him real quick, cure him of this disease that you have no cure for currently. And so the king said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and had sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, for he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with the horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. I don't know if I could wash 7 times. I would probably get impatient after the 3rd and be like, look, if it's not clean by now, it's just not happening. Oh, man. Staying awake, guys. It turns into a friggin' marathon. Running, you know, like reading 4 chapters is the equivalent of some great feat of endurance when it comes to this book for me. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when saith thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and was clean. Wow, who would have thought? And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. So we got a convert here, guys. So he had leprosy. Ooh, itching my leg, sorry. He had leprosy, and yeah, I know, I'm making you guys yawn. Okay, here's the last of the copy. Now the problem is I have to pee like a friggin' racehorse. And that's not happening during this show. So maybe I'll sit up a little bit. Okay. All right, guys. I can do this. I can read 4 chapters of the Bible without passing out. Maybe if I adjust my mic and inappropriately during my show, maybe that'll help me. Okay. It's got a different pop filter on this. Okay. Okay. Come on, guys. Guys, we can do this. We're almost, you know, we're 2/3 of the way done. The problem is we don't have enough Mr. Kitty. I think that's... Hey, boy. Oh, ooh. He might make an appearance. Boy, you just got a scratch on something, and all of a sudden cats are like, oh, yeah, I'm into that. Boy. Come on. And it's always whenever I have my computer out doing something, he wants to sit, like, on the computer, just because he knows it ruins my life. So I'm surprised he's not trying to do that right now. Cat, you need to keep me awake. Come here. Boy, come here. Come on. Come on. Oh, he's so close. Anyway, I'll keep doing this. He almost bounced. You don't even believe there's a cat here, do you? I'm just doing some elaborate show to make you think I have a cat. Anyway, so this guy is cured of leprosy. He attacked me, but I couldn't grab him. And now he's like, oh, well, I believe in this God who cured me of leprosy, of course. And okay, and then he offers Elisha gifts. He says, Thanks for curing me. I appreciate it. Accept these gifts. And then Elisha says, nope, won't do it. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant of this thing. All I said there was like, yeah, I'm totally a Christian now. Well, sorry, a Jew now, not a Christian. I'm into your God, Jehovah. But since I still live in this other country, I'm going to have to, whenever my master makes me go in this church, I'm going to have to worship that other God. So like, can you forgive me for that? And he said, yeah, sure. Okay. Go in peace. But they won't accept any presents. Elisha won't accept any gifts. Cat, come on. He's so stealthy. He keeps just kind of tapping my hand and leaving. I haven't been able to grab him yet. Come on, Cat. He's got to make an appearance, right, guys? I think he does. Come on. Come on. Come on. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha and the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. Whoa, that was the cat just ran into the mic stand. I don't know if you could hear that. You're kind of dumb, Mr. Cat. You're a dumb kitty. But you're still too... I still can't catch him. He's so fast. He just goes... And I try to grab his arm, you know, and he goes... And he backs up. And I love this little tapping they do, like... I don't know what are you doing, Cat? Like, if you do this, like... Then I'm dead. Oh, you tapped me. I'm dead. Anyway, so pretty much what happened is this guy's servant... Elisha's servant, because Elisha's like, no, don't give us anything. It's fine. It's on me. This one's on me. This miracle. Next time you got leprosy, maybe I'll accept a gift, but for now it's on me. His servant, Elisha's servant, was like, this guy, what are you doing? This guy's got a bunch of silver and stuff. So his servant runs after him and he's like, hey, forget what Elisha said back. He's a kidder. Why don't you go ahead and give me all that silver that you were offering him, and some changes of clothes. Just whatever you have. Just give me whatever you have. So that's what happened. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere, and thy servant went no whither. That's how he phrased it. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when a man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards? I wonder if there's a different way to pronounce that, because vineyards is just vine yards, you know, but like vineyards. Olive yards, though. Is there like olive yards? You know, I don't know. I don't know how you would say that faster. Like vine yards is vineyards. Olive yards should be like, olive yards. Anyway, and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and shall unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence. Oh, you little mongoose. Come here. He just stood up like a mongoose. So in punishment for taking that silver, the guy now has leprosy to this day. He's still around, but he has leprosy. So that's what happened. So pointless story. I don't know what the point of it is. Cat, would you just... I want to catch this cat. Boy, come here. Cat. Come here. Come on. Come on. God, he just knows me too well. He's so fast. Anyway. All right, we're on our last chapter. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Oof. We're playing that game, you know, when you hold your hands up like this. Like, that's essentially what me and the cat are doing right now. Like when someone's like this, and you go like that, you try to like fake, and you psh, hit with the other one. That's what we're doing. And the cat is winning every time because I can't hit his hands. I'm also reading while I'm doing this. Like, it's distracting me a little bit. I have cat-like reflexes normally, but when I'm reading, I have parakeet reflexes. I don't know. What's another animal that's a human resource? Human resources. Human reflexes. I have human resources. Cat-like resources. Anyway, and the sons of the prophets, behold, now I've read this. The place where we dwell is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, to go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Is this... Uh-oh, my theme music's kicking in. It means I went too long. I gotta silence that, otherwise it'll distract me. Someone's saying, what is this? I don't know what that means, so I can't really answer that question. Are you a nun? No, Andrew Johnson. You've been around. Anyway, so what was I saying? So he went with them. So his servants are like, we need a new place to live. And they said, like, let's go build a place. And he's like, yeah, go ahead, whatever. And they're like, well, come with us. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll come with you. He's a very, you know, just kind of goes with the flow kind of guy. And, but as one was felling a beam, oh, this is going to be an extreme miracle, guys. Are you ready for another impressive miracle? Are you ready? As one was felling a beam, so someone was chopping down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. I guess he borrowed someone's axe. And then he lost it. He lost the axe head. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he shewed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up thee. And he pulled out his hand and took it. And when the king of Syria... So that's it. That's the entire miracle he made. He, like, the guy loses an axe head. And Elisha makes it float. It's not a great miracle. I just feel like they're... Wait, if I was going to write a miracle, how about, like, a big tree falls on him? And he's, like, crushed. And he's never going to walk again, right? And then... Elisha's like, no, I got this. And he just takes the tree and he just holds out his hand like Yoda and just moves the tree. And, what? Can you guys not? I don't know. People are saying stuff and I have no idea what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense to me. So either I'm losing my mind or maybe they can't see the video right now, but. I can't do anything about it, so sorry, I'll stop polluting my show with it. Ah, this cat. I can't catch him. He's too fast. So if I was writing a miracle here, I'd get a tree and I'd like throw it, I'd just throw it away with the force. And then I'd go to the guy and he's like, I can't feel my legs. You know, and then I'd just be like, no matter. Because I talk to God, I know exactly how to fix this. I know that the spine is related to that some way, you know, whatever. Look, if I was actually the guy who was talking to God, I'd know all these things. And I'd be able to say things that made sense. So then I'd do, you know, I'd do some surgery or something. And then the guy would walk again. And that would be a miracle. That'd be a cool miracle, right? But no, somebody loses an axe head. And he's like, oh, I can find that for you. In the river, and that's a miracle. Like, whoa, what an all-powerful God we have. Oh, I caught him. Oh, he got away. Did you hear him? He wasn't happy about it. Oh man, did you hear that? He's like, rah. It's because I beat him at his own game. So like, he's under the couch, right? And I'm putting my hand, and he's going, phew. He's like sneaking. Like I said, it's that game where you put the hands, and he went like this, and I caught him. And I tried to grab him, and he went, rah. And then he got free. I think I got too cocky. I thought I had him. I didn't get him. Anyway, so that's what happened. Then the king of Syria, so then it's going to a totally different thing. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took, we're still playing. We're still battling. This is keeping me awake. The cat, thank you, cat. You're keeping me awake. Warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." Weird. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou not pass such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." So this, I could very simply explain this miracle. Elisha probably has a mole inside the Syrian army. Because this miracle, guys, this miracle is that the Syrian army keeps going someplace. And then Elisha's like, guys, don't go there. Because he knows where they are. So this is a miracle. And so he saved him. They saved the army. And either he has a mole inside the Syrian army, or maybe he just scouts them. I don't know. Maybe he has some scouts. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't seem that paranormal. But these are the kind of things you do if you needed to prove that you talked to God. You try to arrange for things like this. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." So the king of Syria calls his servants, is like, "All right, which one of you is the traitor?" And then this one guy's like, "Oh no, there's no traitors. It's just that Elisha knows everything you say in your bedroom." And if I were the king, I'd be like, "Looks like you're the traitor." Looks like we have our traitor here. Let's go ahead and off with that guy's head. My next question would be, how is it you know so much about why Elisha knows what he knows? You know, like, that would be my question. But no, the king says, "Oh no, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And was told, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." How dumb is this king? As dumb as me trying to catch Mr. Kitty? That dumb? Oh God, I'm starting to predict his patterns now. He's giving me a little head movement before he attacks. And maybe I can catch him that way. Come on, cat. Come on. Come on. Come get this hand. Come get this totally innocent prey that can't fight back. Ah, he's so fast. All right. It's like that one time you got a high score on a video game that you just never could get again, you know? That was that time when I almost got the cat. I'm going to be talking about it to my grave. Like, there's that one time I almost got the cat's paw. I had it. I had the paw, but I just could. He was so strong. He pulled it back. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for that they be with us are more than that they that be with him." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. It was full of just the song, Chariots of Fire, around about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. And when he came to pass, they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. It's a miracle. Ooh, he's going around the other side of the microphone stand. He's getting tricky with me. He's taking this thing to the next level. It was a game of cat and mouse, except I'm the cat, and he's the cat. I don't know. That's human and cat. I can't get him. So what's happening here is some weird war tricks that he's doing. Like, they came to get Elisha, and Elisha made him blind and, like, led him to a different place. And the king of Israel said to Elisha when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Let me smite them. Let me smite them. You better hold me back. I'm going to smite them." He answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So Elisha's not going to let them be smitten. He will not see these men be smitten. And he prepared great provision for them, and they had eaten and drunk, and he sent them away and sent them to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So I guess that was a peaceful solution. I kind of like that. All right, I try to give the Bible its due when it's due, it's due. If that makes sense. When it does something close to human. And in this case, it looks like Elisha kind of worked out a nonviolent solution. And that's good. I'm sure there will be tons of violence later, but for now... Oh, you ass cat. Oh, he just seriously came up, like, when I wasn't paying attention, and, like, all the way up the couch, and, like, tapped me on the finger and then ran back. He's so good at this game. Why am I getting more viewers now that I'm just about done? Why is that? I get plenty of notice. I was late. I thought maybe since I was super late, anyway. I should be long done by now, but now I'm getting all the viewers. It's because of the cat talk, right? And new miracle now. There's a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. I'm trying to catch the cat right now. I'm telling you, man, I'm doing my best. He's wily. Oh, come here, boy. Oh, man, it's impossible to catch. Boy, come here. Come here. That's what all this scratching. 8. All of a sudden, I have viewers now. What the hell's going on? I don't get it. Anyway, I'm just about done, guys. At 9. 10. Why do all of a sudden I have a ton of viewers? Or I mean 10. I normally don't have more than like 5. And now I'm on literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8, 9 verses left. And now I got all the... and he's not able to connect... I don't know why you're saying I'm not able to connect. Why? Is there something? 13 viewers. Did something just get posted somewhere that... 14 viewers. This is weird. This is the most bizarre... Sorry, is this going nuts now? All of a sudden I'm just getting like an arbitrary number of viewers. And by that I mean 16. Just for no reason. That is so bizarre. Huh, well, I'm just about done, so we'll see how this goes. There's a great famine. So it's saying, now it's going back down. All right. So it's just fake. That's all. That's all it was. Behold the, so he's saying there's such a great famine that an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and the part of a cab of dove's dung. So dove crap is selling for 5 pieces of silver. So I don't know why, that's how big of a famine it is. There's one dove, and that dove took a crap, and it sold for millions of dollars. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall. There cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today.'" Jeez, this is horrible. I'm trying to save my cat right now. So got him. Come here, boy. Come here. Oh, he's here. Here's the little warrior. Ooh, and now my viewers have peaked now that I get the cat. It's Cat Boy. My name for him is Cat Boy now. Cat Boy, look at the camera. Cat Boy. Look, there he is. He's very unhappy. So I caught Cat Boy. I have superior reflexes. Just heard a little skip. I hope the audio is still good. So I got the cat for the rest of these couple of verses. Okay, so cat, we got a recap. So what just happened was I just caught the cat. That's essentially, to sum up for you guys, I finally outsmarted a stupid animal. That's what happened. There's this starving woman that's like, "Hey, Mr. King, help me with something." The king's like, "Well, I can't help you with anything. Nobody has anything." And then she starts telling him this awful story that I'll go back. So, I gotta go back now. She answered, this woman telling this awful story. "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" So we boiled my son. I swear, literally. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. This is real. This is real. I just read this in the Bible. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and passed by on the wall, and people looked. Cat, stay in the picture. The cat stays in the picture. Look at him. Look at him. He's so unhappy all the time. So this just happened. So a woman, so this woman comes up to this other woman. It's like, "Hey, look, we're all starving, right? How about that famine, right? Hey, let's, why don't you go ahead and boil your son? We'll eat him. And then tomorrow we'll boil my son." She's like, "Oh, okay, that sounds reasonable." And so she boils her son and they eat her son. And then the next day she's like, "That was some tasty son yesterday. So, you want to get going on your son? You want to get the boiling started?" She's like, No, I don't really want to do that." And that's this woman's story. And she's going to the king to say, like, make her boil her son. Isn't that, this is incredible. This is incredible. I don't even know what to say. And so the king hears this and he doesn't even respond, which this king sounds kind of normal. The king's just like, so he rents his clothes. I almost am having a similar reaction. I almost would do this, just like Superman, just tear my clothes off and then wakes up with no costume, unfortunately. And so he passed by upon the wall, and people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. So he's like in his underwear, I think that means. Then he said, "Go do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door." Okay, I'm trying to hold the cat in the camera, and I'm losing my spot. There you go, boy. Oh, you're just a kitty. This is what I do. Oh, you're just a kitty. Oh, you're just a cat. Oh, you're just a cat. That's what I do all day. If I didn't have a job, that's what I would do with my cat all day. Oh, you're just a cat. And eventually he'd find out he's a cat. Maybe he would learn the information that I'm trying to tell him. Cat, I'm almost done. Just come on. Your podcast is never going to go anywhere. You just don't have the patience for it. So while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, "Behold, this evil of the Lord, what should I wait for the Lord any longer?" End of chapter. Cliffhanger. Okay, so what happened, just because the cat complicated things, always got to get in the show. It's all him. I didn't do that. Oh, can attack me? I'm gonna eat his paw already. Anyway, what happened was, so the king hears this horrible story of boiling children and eating them. And he gets really mad at Elisha because Elisha has gotten them to this place, I guess. And so he's like, "I'm going to go, somebody kill Elisha, otherwise I'm pissed." And then Elisha knows about it somehow because he's a man of God, I don't know. And he warns some people that the king's going to kill him. Sends a messenger, and basically the king's messenger says, "What are we doing? Like, why are we? Should we wait for the Lord?" Like, they're besieged, and the king's like, "Well, I'm not waiting for the Lord anymore." And that's the cliffhanger that we leave you with. He just got me good. He just scratched me good. He's getting impatient. All right, so that's the show. I don't know why. Can anyone in the chat tell me why all of a sudden I went from 2 viewers to 18 viewers in approximately 5 minutes? Is this the prime time that I need to be doing the show? Did everybody just get off work or something? Do y'all live in Hawaii? Or, I don't know. I don't know what time zones you're all in. Anyone? If you could answer that would help me, and maybe I could just do the show later, but I usually have to try to get it done. Whatever. Oh yeah, this Abe. This cat hates me. I don't know. What is the think? And somebody just said, I think your cat might hate you. That is the dumbest. This is the biggest understatement I've ever heard. This cat 100% wants to kill me all the time. Because all I demand is like 10 minutes a day of his attention. And then that makes me a bad guy because I hold him against his will. All of a sudden I'm a murderer. Because I feed him. I pay for his everything. You know, I let him live. I just want to hold him 10 times a day. Yeah, it's the cat. So somehow the internet just sensed that I had cat on my stream, and then they all joined. Cat Catcher stream. All right, so that's the end of the show. Thanks for watching, you guys. No, 21, 22 viewers. Still going up for no reason. People will see I have a cat, and they're like, oh, there's a cat. What am I trying to say? I gave all my little things earlier. Thanks for reviewing on iTunes. If you haven't reviewed on iTunes, please do. If you're not on the Facebook, you have to be on the Facebook. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about this Ustream, I'm sure. Maybe these numbers are just fake. Could that be it? Could it be that I don't actually have 30 viewers right now? It's probably that. 32. It keeps going up like I've won the lottery. Central. Okay. 34 of you. It's still going up, and I'm at the end of the show. All right, what am I do? Okay, I'm going to add in the audio portion because this is, I'm sure the last few minutes have been really unexciting for the audio listeners. And I'll end that, and then I'll talk to you guys on the video. So thank you, audio listeners, and I will see you next time.